TV.
I'm tired of talking about corruption. I want to talk about power. Is that good for you? I'm tired of talking about infirmity. Tired of talking about being weak. We covered that. So today we're going to talk about power. I left off with you in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 43. It is sown, that is, this body is sown like a seed. In infirmity, it is roused in power. In power. I want to concentrate on that word power because I like that word. Power. What does it speak of? It speaks of strength, ability, and the inability to fail. It speaks of having the wherewithal to vanquish all enemies, internal and external. Power is a good thing. So I'm going to give specific examples of how our power will be exercised, what powers we will have in the resurrection, because this power doesn't come on us until we are vivified and made immortal. Now, I said that yesterday that we have a measure of the Spirit. Yeah, that's right. We all have a measure of the Spirit, and this allows us to, this causes us to believe the evangel. Measure of spirit that we have. And it also gives us a measure of power, a very small measure. Some of us are given power to overcome things in our life, overcome difficulties, overcome bad habits. We have, some of us have the power to calm our souls, to think of the best in every circumstance. And that's all, that all takes power. But it's so minuscule to almost be embarrassing. Yeah, almost embarrassing. That, it's not even worth talking about. Well, it is in that we're living life and we do want to see improvements. We do want to see overcoming. But to share a verse with you that I recently shared, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That the transcendence of the power, there's the word again, may be of God and not of us. So we're learning that. And we learn that we have this Spirit in measure. Jesus Christ had it without measure. So what I want to focus on now is, you know, I'm almost, this is bad to say this, but you're my friends. I'm almost tired and impatient with these little victories. It's like, oh yeah, I got through the day and I didn't cuss or something. Or, hey, I was nice to my sister or my dog. Or, hey, I was able to not respond with hate when that person said a mean thing to me. I'm not downplaying these things, but I'm looking for big power. These things are all an earnest of an inheritance. They are. And again, not downplaying them. We all wish for more of this in our lives. We pray for what? A spirit of wisdom and realization. So even these small little token, that's what they are, token manifestations of power. This isn't even the greatest thing we can hope for today. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, he says, I want you to come to a realization, come to a fullness of recognition and realization of the glories of Christ and of what you have in Christ. This is a realization of what Christ has accomplished and what our future holds. So that's even more important. These other things are important too, but they're underneath it. But what I'm going to look at now is the ultimate power when we are made incorruptible. Naturally, there's a siren out here. It never fails. And now the air conditioner has kicked on. I'm surprised the dog hasn't started barking yet. What's taking so long for the dog to bark? It's all right. We shall overcome this. our body is going to be made like Christ's body. What kind of power on earth did Christ exercise? And even when he was on earth, it was limited power, right? He didn't make everyone in the world a believer. He didn't vanquish the Romans with a laser light. He didn't do any of these major manifestations. It was still tempered. It was still restrained. I'm going to read you a passage from Ephesians chapter 1 concerning the power of Christ. And I want to remind you that whatever Christ has is what we will have, because we are his body and he is our brother. As astounding as that is. And so, as I've always told you, in Romans 6, we're identified with his entombment, with his death, his entombment, and his resurrection. And so if he has power, then we have power. Not now, but this is what we will have, according to Paul, 1 Corinthians 15. It is sown in infirmity, it is roused in power. Let's look into this power. This is the power I want. As great as these little things are, as great as these little victories are, I want big power. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm getting a little impatient with the tiny little victories here. I want the big power. And I think God honors this. I think God likes it when we're straining ahead, straining to come into what we're promised. God likes that. Christ likes that, to strain for it. Everybody here in the body of Christ should be, we're all leashed down to this earth, but every one of us should be straining at the tether, straining at the tether. We should not be relaxed in the tether. So many tethers, tethered to our body, tethered to the environment, tethered to a wicked eon, tethered to our fellow humans. Yet we are looking ahead to something better, just like Paul says to the Hebrews. Looking ahead to a city whose builder and maker is God. And we're straining at it, not satisfied. God help you if you're satisfied. I'm not satisfied with these little victories. So listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 1. I'm going to start early and build up to it because it leads to power, it leads to what we are going to be doing specifically with that power. That's what I'm interested in. What am I going to be doing with the power that is given me? Well, we see a hint of it with what Jesus Christ did on earth. But first this, Ephesians 1, starting with verse 15. Therefore I, on hearing of this faith of yours in the Lord Jesus, and that for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may be giving you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of him. I have to stop there. This is God that is giving us this. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the big kahuna. That's the big boy. We're not talking Jesus Christ anymore, as great as he is. We're talking God. God. I don't even know how we're able to sit here and talk about this. That the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ may be giving you. All right, we're going from God to you. And Paul's not even breaking a grin. Paul's not even joking. That God may be giving you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of him. I think the him here is God, a realization of God. The eyes of your heart having been enlightened for you to perceive. This is what I'm about right now and tonight. I want you to perceive, and I'm talking distinctly about power right now. Power, the ability to do things. This is distinct from glory. It's power. To perceive what is the expectation of his calling and what the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of his allotment among the saints and what the transcendent greatness of his power for us. That this is not even the power of Christ. This is the power of God. That's the context. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a power that is for us who are believing in accord with the operation of the might of his strength. Yeah, this is it. This is talking about God, because listen to what happens next. The might of his strength, which is operative in the Christ. So the strength, the strength we're talking about here is the strength of God. It's the power of God. The power of God, the one who makes the sun stand in the sky. The one who is sovereign. We use that term so loosely, not realizing the epicness of it. What sovereignty means, that he's operating all things in accord with the counsel of his own will, and he's organizing everybody's life so that everything meshes perfectly, not only people's lives, but the circumstances of their lives. It takes strength and power to operate everything according to your own will. I would think this is the power that God is using to bring us not only to a realization of the truth, but to an enjoyment of our allotment among the saints. And the details, I added that word, but Paul kind of says that with what the transcendent greatness of his power for us. All this power, this is God's power, is for us. It's for us. The power that holds the sun in the sky is for us. The power that operates everything in this world, every single detail, in some magnificent orchestrated symphony is for us. The power that generated the Christ is for us. He's saving that for us, that power. The power that spoke into existence light, spoke into existence life itself. Paul is praying that we would come into a realization of the transcendent greatness of his power, God's power for us who are believing in accord with the operation of the might of his strength. A lot of great words here. Power, might, strength, which is operative in the Christ. There you go. This makes the connection now. Now you see that I'm not a crazy person. This power is now operative in the Christ. So he has it. So when we see him, it is an example of what we will have, because this power that he has for us, the power that keeps the sun in the sky and operates everything in accord with the counsel of his will, this power is now operative in the Christ. Okay? It's now operative in the Christ. So we look to Christ. Even when he was on earth, we can see hints of it. Then we will have a clue as to what our power will be, what we will be doing with that power. And Paul wants us to know that. He's praying for it right here. The Holy Spirit in Paul is praying for us to come to a revelation of the transcendent greatness of God's power for us. The transcendent greatness of God's power for us. Paul wants us to apprehend it. And this is, I'm trying to assist this tonight. I'm trying to assist this. I'm trying to bring this to your attention. I'm not assisting it in that I'm making it happen. I'm bringing it to your attention. And I'm also praying for you and for myself that God would bring us to a realization of this power. Power of God. Let that settle in if it hasn't. In accord with the operation of the might of his strength, which is operative in the Christ, rousing him from among the dead. There was a token of it. Rousing him from among the dead, that tells me, when the dead rise at the great white throne, who's doing that? Christ doing it? Is God doing it? Or are we doing it? This power is being given to us. Let that sink in. Because it has to do with us as well, judging angels or celestial messengers. Rousing him from among the dead and seating him at his right hand. God's right hand. God's right hand. God. 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 Christ is right now at the right hand of God. We are part of the body of Christ, and we are at the right hand of God. The power rubs off. Oh, yes, it does. The power rubs off. We will have the authority and the power of God. No wonder Paul, when he went to the third heaven, came back and just, he had to be given a thorn in the flesh to humble him because of what he saw and what he realized. I think he saw the body of Christ completed, and I think he realized the power that was at his disposal, at his fingertips. In the next resurrected life, rousing him from among the dead, seating him at his right hand among the celestials, because that's where Christ is dwelling now, and as a figure of speech is where God is dwelling. God doesn't literally dwell somewhere, but that's not the cops after me, that's the light of Seth's car backing up. See? Always coming right back down to frickin' earth. But that's okay, that's okay, we're gonna overcome it. Because God is actively giving us a spirit of realization and an appreciation of what we have. And I will overcome all these distractions for you. There's the siren again. Seating him at his right hand among the celestials, up over, listen to this. I really wanted to drive at this. Up over every sovereignty and authority and power and lordship and every name that is named. I gotta stop right there because this is packed. I'm still trying to get over the power of God. God's power for us, it's for us. This power of God is for us. And to show you the height of the power, the magnitude of the power, the all-encompassingness of the power, it is said here that he seats him, Christ, at his right hand, God's right hand, among the celestials, up over every sovereignty and authority and power. Up over, if it's over every sovereignty and every authority, if it's over every power, then there's no power higher. That almost needs to go without saying that there's no power higher than God's. But just in case you wonder if that includes like the 24 elders, if it includes Satan, if it includes, it includes all of those. It includes all of those. They will be bowing down to us, 24 elders of Revelation, who are ancient ones, powerful, powerful celestial beings who probably created the earth through Christ. The earth was created by the Elohim, plural of God. God started it, sent it down through his son, who subjected his work to his son, and his son also delegated it then to other sovereignties, powerful beings. We're going to be above them in power, okay? Just so you know. We won't be above God, but created by the Elohim were the heavens and the earth. You don't get that in the King James. God created the heavens and the earth, but it's plural. It's plural. Why the plural? Elohim. It's the name of God is El, but Elohim is plural. It's because God created the world and everything that is through his son, Jesus Christ. It was delegated authority, and Christ then, I think probably, all came into being through him, so he created it, but it's quite probable, because of the word Elohim, that he created it through these other beings, possibly the 24 elders that are now ruling in the celestials, the heavenly realms, which makes me think that there are 24 sectors of jurisdictions, 24 jurisdictions among the Celestials. It's interesting because 12 is the number of rule and rulership on earth, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles. It's interesting that there are 24 elders. I'll give you the verse reference from the book of Revelation here. But these are not resurrected human beings. These are not beings that were ever human. They are probably created after Christ. Christ created them. Probably the next creation. God, Christ, and probably these insanely powerful beings that probably pulled the trigger in creating the earth and the stars and the sun and everything else. It was still done through God. God did it. Christ did it, but they were pulling the trigger. They had their fingers on the buttons. That's the every sovereignty and authority and power that we are above, because Christ is above, and we're with Christ, and we're at the right hand of God. Christ is at the right hand of God, we're at the right hand of God. Christ is above all sovereignties and power and lordships. That's where the 24 elders come in, I think, because they have their lords, and their, in other words, their masters, their subjectors, and they have a sovereignty in their various districts, their various sectors, their various. It's just so interesting. 12 on earth, 24 in heaven. 24, I believe, being 12 times 2. Up over every sovereignty and authority and power and lordship and every name that is named, not only in this eon, but also in that which is impending. Above all powers for all time. All powers for all time. That's what this verse is saying. It can't get any more far-reaching. It's not hyperbolic. It's happening. It's the fact. And subjects all under his feet and gives him as head over all to the ecclesia, which is his body. It's talking about us. This is what I'm saying earlier. God's power for us. And now he's bringing this word ecclesia, this little group, this called out group of people are the ones coming into this. Over the ecclesia, which is his body, the complement, speaking of the ecclesia is the complement of the one completing the all in all. The ecclesia, this little outcalled group of people, we are the ones completing the all in all. We're the complement of Christ who completes everything else. A complement is that which fills. Do you understand this? God gives him, Jesus Christ, as head over all to the ecclesia. God gives him to the ecclesia to carry out God's wish and will for us, which is God's very power, which is his body, the complement, the filling of the one, capital O, Christ, the one completing the all in all. How appropriate is this verse? Because we just got done in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 28, talking about God becoming all in all. So the all-in-all is completed through us, through the ecclesia. We carry out the all-in-all. This ties in with 1 Corinthians 15, 28. The ecclesia, which is, this is verse 22 of Ephesians 1. The ecclesia, which is his body is the complement, the filling of the one, Christ. We fill Christ who completes the all-in-all. So Christ does not begin the work of bringing all to God who will be all in all until he is completed. And Christ is incomplete without his body. And the all in all, that is God becoming all things to all people, it will take power. It'll take authority to. The authority is what is granted in this case to the ecclesia and to Christ. It is the free reign, I'll put it that way. I can't think of any other way to describe it right now. It's the free reign to exercise the power. The authority is, you have the green light. You have the green light now to exercise this power, and Christ will exercise it after we are taken back into him. And then he's gonna, with us, complete the all in all. which includes raising everyone at the Great White Throne, judging everyone at the Great White Throne. I'm going to get that. I'll get to that tomorrow. I thought I was going to get to it tonight. I didn't. I wanted to talk about all the things Christ did on earth that were just a mere token of the power that he had. And he got his power from God, of course, and we also get it from God. So it's the same power. It's not only the same power, but it's the same degree of power. The same degree of power of God.